Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And grand rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our fabulous guest. And we'll be talking about the Black college experience. It's quite a different experience when you go to a major university, predominantly white institution, now known as PWIs, and that of a historically Black college or university, known as HBCUs. But we'll be right back to talk to our guests today about an exciting upcoming event, and we want to get your comments. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come to you and get your comments. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three Black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance,
We're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Your message has been...
All right, yes. And we welcome you to this edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show as we take a look at an upcoming exciting event. The Big Ten Black Alumni are celebrating the Black College Experience, the weekend coming up of July 28th through 30th, and many people are unaware of the impact that many of these major colleges and universities have had on the lives of students, and it's a definitely different experience than that of one attending an HBCU or even a local college, and there are many people who've gone on to excel after their college experience, but we want to talk about that, and our two guests today are going to give us some perspectives, and if we are parents of college-age students, if we've had the college experience, we may consider some of the things that need to be thought about as we plan for our future, and we're going to bring in our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American 360 family. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will certainly add you to this conversation because we want to hear your opinion.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution.
right, so let.
And as they
and Kareem Hamid, are you with us?
I've been with you for a long time. Yes, I'm with you. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Well, I am fantastic, and, you know, I'm feeling like an octopus, got to press a whole bunch of different buttons and connect everybody and make sure we have up on the screen our wonderful guest this morning, Mr. Andre Garner, one of the coordinators of a fantastic event that's upcoming, and this is a Big Ten alumni gathering the annual Bamboree, and it's going to be celebrated at Chicago's McCormick Place, July 28th and 30th, and Andre Garner is one of the guests that will be discussing the whole Black college experience. And joining us later is Jerry Hunter, who's director of the National Black Hall of Fame. And he's going to take a look at the HBCU experience. But one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning, because so many families are looking at sending their children to college, so many people have been influenced by the college experience, and as we go into our second and third generation of college students, maybe, and some people, depending on their experience after the Civil War, they may even have a even longer family history of college. But we still have a lot of families that are just first-generation college students and parents who don't really know what to expect or how to advise. So first of all, let me welcome to our show this morning our dear brother who has joined us to tell us about this fabulous upcoming event, Andre Garner. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Good morning, Naima. Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate you, appreciate your patience, and appreciate your willingness to take out some time this morning to give us some insight.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I was trying to dig out one of my University of Nebraska shirts. Couldn't find one. Oh, well. But I'm an alumni of the University of Nebraska, and I must say that experience changed my life forever. It awakened in me an understanding of the real issues of race in America. I grew up in I guess, you know, the segregated city of Chicago, and my whole upbringing was the Black experience. I didn't have, like some people had, you know, stories of integration with whites. The only whites I knew were the teachers. You know, we had maybe two, maybe three white students in my high school. But culturally, I never had that of being the minority. That was not anything I had to deal with. And so going to within the University of Nebraska was part of what was the Big Eight. But, you know, now they've kind of reconfigured it. Now it's part of the Big Ten. But these are universities that are predominantly white, and the history of many of these universities is that they didn't admit Black people, you know, a lot of larger universities. So once we started going to these universities, we had a whole different cultural experience. And so having an event that kind of gets the alumni together to share their life experiences, I think is really very powerful.
Yes, it is. We want to share those experiences amongst one another, and we want to also make sure that those opportunities are available to another generation of Black students, and a lot of that is making sure that folks are aware that state schools, land-grant institutions like the University of Illinois, my alma mater, are available to them. I know when I was coming through high school, it was uncharted territory. The idea of seeking out a college for my family. We had, I think, two aunts who had some experience at an HBCU in the South. But here in Chicago, the closest HBCU to us is about a six-hour drive away. So for my family and for our experience, the University of Illinois was about what we could get done with what we had available to us. And in many cases, I wasn't even aware of a lot of the HBCUs, New not out of my mom's pocket was a great deal for us.
A lot of the one thing that I noticed, a lot of the black athletes, not the stereotype, but a lot of them who went to the larger universities were there on sports scholarships. And one of the reasons why they chose those institutions instead of the HBCUs was because of the sports program. And it seemed that, you know, the teams had greater access to a potential professional sports career if someone was hoping for that. And the result of that was that a lot of those institutions, I guess you could say, took away some of the top black talent in sports. So that whole experience also had an impact, even, I guess, on the choices that people made on where they wanted to attend.
Yeah, you know, former ESPN journalist Bill Roden wrote a book. It was called Million Dollar Slave. I think it was $4 Million Slave, I think was the title of the book, if I'm not mistaken. But he talks a lot about the depletion of black athletic talent from HBCUs once African-Americans were allowed into predominantly white institutions in a wholesale manner. We've always had black folks, well, not always, but for a long time we've had black folks, at least at the Big Ten universities. We've had African-Americans that go back to some of these institutions back into the late 1800s. But it did become sort of a wholesale opportunity or experience probably until the middle of the 20th century. And you'll talk to folks who I know went to my alma mater. One of them is Reverend Jesse Jackson, for instance. He went to the University of Illinois early in his college career. And he talks about some of the struggles and experiences that they had. One of the things that you had to get over was the fact that black folks couldn't live in the dorms, even though we were in the North. In states that were considered probably by many somewhat progressive, it was still very segregated. So black folks couldn't live in the dorms. He always talked to us, who were fellow former alumni, about the fact that when you came to town, you had to live with a family on the north end of Champaign. Usually that was a connection that someone had with a community leader or a church or a church leader from your hometown. With those folks in Champaign. But then those families who took in boarders were usually not pushing out, but looking forward to hosting the next student or other students in subsequent years. So your job during your first year at the university was to find a place to live for your second year. And typically you moved somewhere like a fraternity or sorority house in many cases. And that's another reason why at a lot of the PWIs, surprisingly to many, have a large presence of black fraternities and sororities on the campus early on. At the University of Illinois, you've got a lot of what we call single letter chapters of the Divine Nine organizations. And that's because it was a housing solution for many of the students.
You know, I had no idea that there was a time that black students couldn't. That in itself, you know, that makes me very sad. By the time I came along, of course, you know, we were living in the dorms. But you had a lot of white students who maybe had grown up, from where I went to school, a lot of white students never met a black person, you know, a lot of wrong ideas, you know, attitudes, suspicion. And so for some, I might have been their first black person, you know, that they ever met. And the university didn't really handle racial issues very well because they probably just didn't know how. I went to school on the heels of the major civil rights protests that got us into these institutions. So you had some black students I went to school with a lot of black students who really didn't even have the black experience growing up. They had been the minority all their lives. They had been used to that sort of treatment. I was not. I was not used to people not being able to relate to me as a human being. You know, so that kind of transformed me in terms of realizing what happens when people are sheltered and brainwashed, and even with black students, when they grow up feeling ashamed because they're black, they don't have any other input. So I was very, very active in our black student organization, and we really got radicalized. We changed it from, I think it was the Black Collegiate Association when I first came there. We changed it to the African People's Union, and, you know, we was all into, you know, the whole cultural acceptance, you know, the linking our struggle with that of the African students, many of whom were coming from various countries that, you know, were going through some things in terms of taking back their economic control. So a lot of the Africans were very highly driven to succeed in college because they realized they had to come back and help with the agricultural science. They had to help with the governing policies. They had to help with the business development. And a lot of them had a lot more drive even than black American students because we still, a lot of us, were still kind of in that minority mindset, and I'm lesser than, and so we didn't think, well, I'm going back to take over my country. You know, we think, well, I hope I get a job, you know. So it was different levels of drive and focus and belief about who you were going to be once you graduated. You were going to change your society if you came from a various African countries where some of them had to really fight hard to get to school and get those scholarships, because they were looked at as the hope of the nation, whereas we were, you know, some of us partied our way out of the college first semester because we just didn't have the discipline. We didn't have a family history of going.
Yeah, those were issues that were still at play when I was in college. I was at the University of Illinois in the mid-1980s, and many of those same struggles were struggles that we dealt with. But I'll say this. My grandmother used to say, I wouldn't trade my experience for anything, and I feel the same way. The experiences that I had, both good and bad, helped to shape who I am. I think that I had an opportunity to become a leader, in particular amongst the black student base when we were on campus. I was always proud of that role, but I learned a lot. Learned a lot about me, found my voice. I was a relatively, you know, quiet, seldom spoken student in high school. I went to a largely African-American high school here in Chicago on the south side, went to Lindblom, and
wow,
experience there as well. And Lindblom, by the way, probably fed more HBCUs students than any high school in Chicago in the last 50-plus years, because we were churning them out, and the whole idea was to get to college. So when I got to Lindblom, this whole idea that you were definitely destined for college, you just needed to figure out where you were going to get in. Again, for me, the University of Illinois wound up being that place. Those struggles were real. But I think what happened for some of us was it sort of forced us to shine. Either you were going to do well, figure it out, find yourself, or be, I hate to say it, potentially swallowed by the experience. And I'm thank God I wasn't swallowed by the experience. And we're those of us who did survive those experiences, used them as a stepping stone for further. We're going to get together, as you mentioned, in late July, and we're going to not only have a great time, but we're going to network and find ourselves at this next level of life. We're going to be working to enhance ourselves professionally, socially, civically. We're going to do workshops, so participate in workshops about our careers. How do we get to the next level? How do we get to the next level as entrepreneurs, for those of us who are entrepreneurs? And we're going to recognize some of the achievements that many of us have been fortunate to experience during our lives.
That is fantastic. Well, we've got a caller on the line. We'll get to them before we take a break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and that will let us know you have something to say. Like your number up on our switchboard. We're talking to Andre Garner, who is one of the coordinators of the Big Ten Alumni Celebration coming up this July 28th through 30th weekend. And it is a powerful opportunity for people who've shared that college experience at one of those PWI universities, predominantly white institutions, to network and to reminisce and to empower themselves with making some great contacts. So let's go to our phone line, and I believe 111-111, your mic was open. Give us your name where you're calling from and your question or comment for our guest.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Can you hear me, Raymond?
Yes, I can.
Well, praise God and good morning. This is a grand rising and an excellent conversation to start off with. And I want to say good morning to you and your guest. And my name is Neil MacArthur, South Side of Chicago, 5525 South Lafayette. And I wanted to ask, you mentioned some things about the HBCU experience. And for those who don't know what HBCU means, historically black colleges and universities. And recently, the Jeff Bezos' ex-wife just gave $20 million, by the way, which is the largest endowment ever given to a black college, gave it to Tuskegee, first female president there. They were having some issues with their finances and their staff and so forth, like a lot of HBCUs. And also they were having to go back every year and request funding from the government. And they did that all 8 years with Obama. And thank God President Trump said, why do y'all have coming back every year? And he extended it to 10 years. So they have to go back begging for money for another 10 years because President Trump extended it. But I want to ask a question about Brother Garner because he kind of glossed over your telling of the experience of the HBCUs, because HBCUs are in trouble right now. And if Brother Garner is in touch with them, he would know that a lot of them are either going out of business or bankrupt, or because they haven't handled the funds right. They're known for having 6- and 8-year graduation rates. You know, instead of 4-year college, they were in a bit, then 6- and 8-year. And like Naima said, partying and basically and a whole lot of debt with student loans and government grants that the school got, but they don't have a lot to show for it. So could you speak to the maladies, Brother Garner, of the HBCUs going on right now? What's going on with them? And why is it that people are talking about closing them down right now? Because that's what they're talking about in D.C. And our politicians at state level also are start speaking of that. So could you speak to that, please? And you all have a great day. And I hope your the event is a success on July 28th, Brother Garner. And looking forward to maybe attending. But God bless you all. You know, because I experienced both. I went to HBCUs and those PI universities and audited a lot of them. I was in the Air Force, and I was able to audit a lot of classes just to sit in and be an observer, which was an interesting experience where I learned a lot about both cultures. But please address those for me, Brother Garner, and y'all have a great day, and God bless.
Well, thank you, Neil, for joining in. And we got to take a quick break. If you can hold on, we're gonna have him answer that once we come back from the commercial break. And, of course, anybody else that's on our switchboard now, if you want to ask a question of our guest, he's got to leave the top of the hour. So, you know, press one now. and then we're going to be joined by our guest, Jerry Hunter, who also wants to make some comments about that HBCU experience. So we are coming right back after this quick break. So hold on, and we'll be talking to our guest, Andre we're talking to our two guests. We're talking to our guest Andre Garner, and also we'll be joined by Jerry Hunter right after this break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And then, of course, we want to make sure we get to our American Muslim 360 audience on the other switchboard with our co-host Kareem Hamid and get your thoughts, particularly about the black male college experience and how it's different on an HBCU and on a predominantly white institution. We'll talk about that when we come back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And our guest today, we are talking to one of the coordinators of a fantastic event coming up at the end of this month, the Big Ten Bamboree at Chicago's McCormick Place, July 28th through 30th. And Andre Garner is here to give us details about that. And, of course, I do want to thank him for allowing me to participate as one of those recognized as a Big Ten alumni graduating from the University of Nebraska. And Jerry Hunter is joining us. And Jerry Hunter, director of the National Black Hall of Fame, is giving us about to give us some of his insights, especially as we look at the difference between the predominantly white institutions and the HBCU. So we want to welcome to our show this morning, Jerry Hunter. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Female Solution. And there was a question asked before the break Andre, there was a question asked regarding the situation of HBCUs, and many of the schools that are in trouble financially. First of all, can we take a look at, you know, this event is called the Big Alumni. And some of the people who graduate give back, which is what really enables an institution to survive. Do you find that, is it in your observation, do you find that Black alumni tend to give back to colleges if they are an alumni of perhaps an HBCU, but maybe not feel so compelled to give back if they went to a predominantly white college? Because we know that the white alumni, they give very generously. But I don't know if we have the same emotional connection to a predominantly white institution. What has been your observation?
So, Naima, first of all, I just want to clearly qualify. I didn't have the experience of attending an HBCU,
mm-hmm.
But I am very keenly aware of the financial struggles that some of the HBCUs have had historically and continue to have. I want to point to one important difference with many of the HBCU, in particular those supported by the UNCF, which is an organization that I support a lot. Many of these HBCUs that are struggling are not state-supported. All right? The University of Illinois benefits from your tax dollars. I'm assuming that the University of Nebraska and Lincoln is the same way. State schools, in particular the PWI, they benefit from state dollars. Now, there are some private institutions in the Big Ten as well, like Northwestern and a few others. But therein lies a big disparity in financial support. When tax dollars are automatically dedicated towards the upkeep and the perpetuation of the institution to pay top quality professors and teachers, to pay for top quality facilities, it makes a big difference. And so our HBCUs, many of the private ones in particular, tend to struggle because they are dependent only on the benevolence of folks who are giving to them. And the biggest source of that benevolence is usually your alumni, in the case of just about every school. So that's something that's very important. But I am, I think I might have mentioned my fraternity. I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi fraternity, as is Jerry, who's going to be on a little bit. And one of the great things that our fraternity does is we support HBCUs in a big way. We call on our members to contribute to funds that we, in turn, give to HBCUs annually, and so do all of the members of the Divine Nine. In particular, my wife's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and they give well over $1 million to HBCUs every year through just a free will giving campaign that they're involved with. And again, we don't give quite as much at Omega Psi Phi. We don't have as many members, but we also support HBCUs in a big way. And I think that's an important part of the discussion when it comes to financial support for these institutions. And going out of business is a reality. We've seen some institutions that many of our members were heavily involved with that, you know, couldn't survive the financial ups and downs and ultimately gave in. And that's a sad thing for all of us when we lose educational institutions.
Yes, absolutely. It makes it and a lot of people don't know the politics behind who gets the state dollars, you know, state institutions as opposed to the private institutions. It's 773-960. Your mic is open.
Just if I may. Oh, go ahead.
Well, while we're waiting for 773-960 to respond, go right ahead. Co-host Kareem. What was your college experience and or observation about those institutions?
Well, mine was very limited. I educated myself outside of the college experience. I did not end my education after leaving high school. I've always been an avid reader and avid student after that experience. Brother Andre Garner, he spoke to the subject matter that I was going to address, is that the students that attend the Big Ten colleges, that they can be the alumni of those colleges, but at the same time, I believe that they need to have a system of purpose, a system of mission. Many of the students that attend the Big Ten colleges come from our community, deprived communities, and that after having graduated and you have obtained a position in corporate America, that they not lose sight of the mission, and that they would give heavily to the HBCUs. You mentioned the students that come from other countries. They come with a mission of liberating their country and uplifting the living standards of the home that they're from. I think we lose sight of that in the so-called mixing, the mixing of cultures. I believe we need a mission. We need to stay on a mission, and we become educated to uplift and help the communities from which we come from. And I'm glad to hear Andre Garner say that that he is part of an association that that gives back, that gives to the HBCUs. That was my concern. Those that go to these large, prestigious colleges, it's good to hear that some of them are helping to shore up the HBCUs. So I'll stop right there. I think we need a thinking of purpose and a thinking of mission when we gain higher education. I'll stop right there. And Andre, I applaud you mentioning that you and others do exactly what I'm speaking of. You do give to the historically black college and university. Thank you, Andre, and may you have success in the upcoming Big Ten event. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely the fraternities and sororities, because that was really one of the few black cultural things we had on our campus was the black fraternities and sororities. Because other than that, maybe black student union or something like that, other than that, we really didn't have an opportunity to express a lot of our culture. And Omega Psi Phi, which you're a member, they are very active.
Absolutely. Can I mention something, too, about our event coming up when it comes to giving back? For that's at the heart of what we're doing with the Danbury Big Ten Black Alumni Networking Weekend as well. We're starting off our activities on Thursday, the 28th of July. Our first activity is giving back. That first activity is we're hosting a truck party for 50 black students who are going away to college for the first time. And they're not necessarily going away to Big Ten school. We don't care where they're going to school. that. So we're going to provide some materials to help those students in transitioning to college. So I was one of those students who, when I went away to college for the first time, didn't really know all the things you needed to take with you. College wasn't just a part of the culture at my house or in our family. I had, again, a couple of aunts who went to, actually it was Mississippi Valley State University, but I think I had stepped foot on that campus one time, and that was to drop one of my aunts off one time in my grandparents' car. So going to college, I didn't know all the things you need. I wasn't even cognizant, really, of the idea that I wanted, if I wanted to watch TV, I needed to bring a television. My mind's paradigm of school was what I knew from grade school and high school. So the idea that you need multiple sets of bedding, that you need things to do your laundry, and that you need the apparatus necessary to, you know, just carry out your day-to-day being, was something new to me. A desk lamps that illuminated the room properly, that kind of thing. And when I arrived on campus, there's all of these students, 30-plus thousand of them, and on move-in day, they've got power tools, and they're constructing stuff.
Wow.
And I was blown away because I had no idea of what this experience was. So we want to send away, we can't replace the actual experience, but we want to send these young people away with some things so that they can transition a lot easier as they go to college for the first time. And we're going to provide materials for those. Anyone who wants to donate can actually go to our website, banbury.com. But we're going to have a number of things when we get back to the community. We've got a free career entrepreneurship fair. It's going to be free to the public. And not only this thing isn't just for Big Ten Black alumni. Everybody's invited to everything we're doing. But for those who might want to attend something and not pay a cost, our career entrepreneurship fair will be going on all day on Friday, July 29th. And we've got companies and organizations there to hire folks, but we've also got franchise organizations that will be there recruiting entrepreneurs who might want to open their own business. I've been an entrepreneur for a number of years, really since I was in college, but exclusively since 2012. I've derived all of my income from being an entrepreneur. I've had an insurance agency. I've got a marketing and PR firm. But it helps when you have a template in the form of a franchise organization where they sort of help get you past some of those things that you don't have to learn by trial and error. So we're going to have all of those types of resources, along with people who are there who can help you with financing your business. That will all be a part of our career and entrepreneurship, and it's open to everyone.
That is great. I've got a screen here, banbury.com, and for those who are listening, it's spelled BANBOREE.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, go to that website. Now, if people want to attend the event, the banquet and all of that, and the awards program, what are the – can they go on the website and buy tickets or
– Absolutely.
Events, right?
Tickets to all of our events. We have, again, a three-day lineup of events starting Thursday, July 28th, concluding Saturday night, the 30th. One of the events is, in addition to, as Naima mentioned, we're going to be having our Black Alumni of the Year Awards. And I'm going to go ahead and put it out there for you. We've been finalizing the folks who are going to be recognized. We're going to recognize one Black alumni from each of the 14 Big Ten schools. And Naima is our awardee from the University of Nebraska during this first time ever Banbury. So kudos and congratulations to you, Naima. Your work has been transformative, and our organizing committee has recognized it as such. And we asked her to be our awardee from the University of Nebraska. So, again, congratulations.
That's wonderful.
And I want to ask you, are you all going to live stream it or something? Because I want to make sure all my Nebraska alumni friends are watching.
So we're working with a third-party marketer. There will be some events live streamed.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to live stream the awards event, but I know some of the workshops that we're going to be offering. We about on the topic of elevating health, wealth, and education in our cultural experience. So we're going to have folks presenting on estate planning. People will be presenting on topics like maternal child health, chronic disease, fighting chronic disease and how to avoid them, and if you've been impacted by one, how you actually live your life to its fullest with the disease. We've got a series of doctors who are going to be doing those types of workshops. We've got financial experts who are going to be advising us on how to plan for the next generation's perpetuation of wealth and how we pass down whatever it is we have, no matter how little or how much. We're going to have workshops to educate folks on those types of topics. We'll have schools there recruiting for graduate programs. And there's just going to be a wealth of topics in our workshop rooms that will be going on Friday and Saturday, the 29th and the 30th. And we're also going to have a 5K fun walk, as it's called. So all of that information is available on our website. And I encourage everyone to go out to Bamboree.com, sign up for whatever it is that you'd like to attend amongst our paid events. Again, the Black Alumni of the Year Awards. We have an old school party featuring a rap icon, Chubb Rock, on Friday night, 29th of July. Those events are paid events. But again, we've got free events in our career fair. You're welcome to attend any of our workshops as well. And then we'll be giving back as well through our truck party. And a portion of the proceeds from each ticket sales, even if you're buying a ticket to one of the social events or parties, a portion of those proceeds will be going to the Black Alumni Networks from each of the four schools to help support students on those campuses today.
You know, that is wonderful because earlier it was mentioned how the top colleges in this country, they recruit our best athletes.
Yeah.
And so there is a sports drain from out of the community. Likewise, they closely monitor students that are very bright. That are very bright, that are valedictorian and top in their class. They also recruit them the same way sports figures are recruited. They recruit the best minds from among us. So we have experienced a brain drain in the African American community, but I believe we have woke up now. And that that we are giving back in the education of high finance, entrepreneurship, technology. We are those that have those expertise in that are coming back and sharing that knowledge with the African American community. That is wonderful because we have experienced a brain drain among us. I'll stop right there, but it's wonderful to hear that we are once again bringing those bright minds back and educating others and helping establish ourselves. Wonderful, wonderful effort, Brother Andre Garner. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely it's good to hear. Also, that trunk party, you know, like you were saying, Andre, a lot of times you don't know what you're supposed to take to college. I was fortunate that I was the third in our family to go. Both my older sisters had already gone. So there was some level of understanding of what I needed to do. And then, of course, by the time my daughter went to college, you know, I'm fully equipped. But I do want to give kudos to Omega Psi Phi Fraternity that also gave a scholarship to my daughter when she went to school. And she went to school here in Illinois, and it was a good thing for her. My brother-in-law, Mike Ward, you probably know him, he's an Omega Psi Phi. So, you know, I'm grateful for the support of that organization. And a lot of the fraternities and sororities do so much community service work. It was known when Kamala Harris was campaigning for president and later became vice president, it was known that her sororities got out there and they campaigned. So that is a network that we do create.
Absolutely.
in our Black Greek organization. We've got a couple of callers here on the line. Let's see if I can squeeze in, as I know you've got to go at the top of the hour. 773-960, your mic is open.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is
yes.
Cooper James.
Give me your name, where you're calling from. Okay.
Yes, Cooper James. I, my best education came from the kitchen table. When my mother told me, I remember I used to go out to the backyard farm and pick up cotton ball stems, you know, cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to break them and run and fly the feathers out. She said, boy, come here. You know what that is? Oh, what is this? That's a cotton ball. I said, I didn't know that. She said, I used to have to pick that and make little waves a long time ago. I said, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go through that. That's what you went through. She said, no, boy. She said, one day you're going to pick your own cotton. And I scratched my head and kept playing. Went to college. I got a scholarship at Illinois State University. I wanted to go to Morehouse. That's why I'm talking now. And went to college and found my college. You know, I went to college for sports. Play baseball, and got a degree, voted most likely to succeed by the whole campus, because then I kept, you know, I went to parties, I left at 10 o'clock, go to the library, and like, man, you kept us focused. But, you know, when I got into college, you know, college didn't teach me about picking my own cotton. and I realized that was about having my own business. So it took me another 10 years of working in corporate America, and I was like, wait a minute. Mama told me to pick my own cotton. And I started my own business. And I've had my own business for 25 years and been successful. So my education came from the kitchen table. And I think all of us have gotten that education from our parents or uncle or whatever. But,
yeah. Well, Cooper, you brought up a subject. Our guest has to go at the time they are, but I want him to address.
Well, I want to ask him about college, you know, being the village. I want to ask him about, does he understand that we have a village community, regardless of what kind of education you have, what your educational background, at the end of the day, there's a village that we share. And I want to pop that question up and see what kind of answers can I get.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Because, you know, that's one of the things when he mentioned about that. Sometimes there's a different mindset with those who attend the predominantly white institutions. There's more, from what I've observed, more of a thrust toward integration into the corporate America structure, and sometimes with those who might go to Black institutions, there's more perhaps encouragement toward entrepreneurship or giving back to your community when you get back home. Have you noticed a difference in philosophy depending on where students went to school, just in your observation?
I've noticed a difference, Naima, in individuals. I was a journalism major in school, where the entrepreneurship spirit rose up from in me, I can't tell you. It's not a thing in my family, but for whatever reason, I connected and entrepreneurship resonated with me from the time I was in college. My business partner with the Black Ink Group, which is put together this event, my business partner and I started selling T-shirts on campus to pay parking tickets to get our transcripts loosened from the university, which were being encumbered. And so, we, you know, we've been hustling and being entrepreneurs since then. So, yeah, that mindset, it is different, and everybody doesn't have it. What actually makes it evolve from some people or emit from certain people, I don't know, to be honest with you. I will say this real quickly before I have to leave about the comment about the village. I think it is that's 100% the solution to all the ills that we have in communities of color and communities that are economically distressed, you name it. It's all about the village. And it's all about the village in communities that are more well-heeled financially as well, because mm-hmm. the village provides the blueprint that young people look at. The village is the provides the role models that people. And I think for me, the one thing that I have hoped for every child or young person since I left the University of Illinois is that everybody got to at least experience being on a college campus.
Absolutely.
If you can go to an HBCU, great. If you can't, don't let that be the thing that keeps you from going. And I think that's what the ultimate message from the Banbury and our gathering later this month is really about. There's rich experiences no matter where you go. Man, when I went away to college, a poor kid from Englewood in Chicago, didn't have, you know, a college background in my pedigree and my family history, it absolutely changed my life. And I know everybody can't go away to college. And I know that's sponsored. And we've got great institutions here in the city of Chicago. But if you can go away and have that experience
it helps you grow up.
Of living on campus, let me tell you, there's nothing like it. It was fun. It was educational. It disappointed me. It uplifted me. It did everything. But it taught me more than anything, I believe, in my life. And I want every young person to have that experience. And if you get to see and experience that world, I think your life will be changed.
I agree. I agree, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Andre Garner, for joining us. And if you're in and around the Chicagoland area, or if you want to just come on over, if you're, you know, in the surrounding states, banbury.com, you can go on the website, register for the event. July 28th through 30th. It's going to be a fantastic event, and I thank you all so much for giving me the opportunity to express my appreciation for what I learned at the University of Nebraska. It was a life-changing experience, and I do agree, when you go away to school, it does change you. My daughter, who went to Loyola University, even though she didn't go away, but I kind of gave her the away experience. She stayed on campus, and you do understand what it's like to be an adult and be responsible for your own life. And
absolutely.
So I encourage everybody, you know, if you can, go to college and definitely go to this event. They're doing some great work. And thank you so much, Andre Garner. I know you got to get your day started and get your person where they got to go. Thank you so very much. And look forward to seeing you on the 20th and 30th. Through the 30th.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll talk to Jerry Hunter of the National Black Radio Hall of Fame. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesday, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursday, Soulful Solutions.
And we are back. We will be joining with Jerry Hunter in just a moment. But let us give you a few more reminders of the wonderful people who you need to know and consider as we go about our daily task of changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be.
Anne Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we've been talking about the Big Ten Black Alumni Celebration coming up. The Banbury, first time ever, is going to be at Chicago's McCormick Place, July 28th through the 30th. And, of course, the 30th, I'm going to have a great awards ceremony, and I'm looking forward to attending. And certainly invite to attend to go to the website, Banbury.com. The Black college experience, definitely a life-changing experience, depending on where you go and what you learn and where you bring it back to. We've got a number of calls on the line. Brother Kareem, I don't know if you've got calls on the switchboard, but if I may, I'm going to take some callers and get some comments. Area code 334-8.
Unmuted.
Five, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is your cousin from down south, Naima, Bubba.
All right.
I definitely want, because I have a cousin that coaches high school in Chicago. He coaches Morgan Park. His name is Ernest Ratcliffe, and he got some kids going to go eat. Oh, you know him. He got some kids.
We've had him on a couple of times. Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
He just came back from a championship this summer, I guess it was. He sent his football team to the national championships, and he was a guest on our show. We covered that event. Yes.
Yeah, he's a good cousin. He's been coaching and mentoring all his life down in Hyde Park at the Y on 63rd, ever since we was young. But what I want to say, Naima, is this brother Andre Gunn is a positive brother, and I like his positive attitude. I'm glad he had a positive experience at University of Illinois. I didn't know it was HSBC. Show you what I know. I got to learn some stuff. But his experience in Illinois, just like your experience growing up in Chicago, which was called the Black Mecca, where all the folks from down south sent their kids during the Great Migration. Folks went to Chicago so they wouldn't get hung or their daughters wouldn't get raped. So Chicago, the experience in Chicago, because most of the blacks at the University of Illinois were from Chicago. So therefore, that experience is going to be different. It's going to be you treat it like, okay, they're from Chicago, they're black, okay, because they're in Chicago, they're segregated, so it's a different experience. You're freer, so to speak. But I would be remiss, Naima, if I didn't chime in and talk about, because, you know, I like to be positive, too, but we have negativity and evil in this world, and it's a lot of evil that goes on college campuses. And when we set our children up and say, you're the first one to go, or you got to get this education because it's going to get you a job, make you better, we set our kids up a lot of times to be set up for these evil rituals that go on at these parties and these parties that go on these campuses, because they're set aside from the regular police. They police themselves, like we saw with the white boy at Stanford who raped the girl and got a couple of months.
You brought up an issue that I want to address. So hold that thought, because we also have some issues when we go away to these institutions. And I'm glad you brought up some of the things that are experienced. And if we don't empower our children to speak up and tell us what is going on, sometimes they have some really horrible things happen to them. And there's so much pressure on them to excel and succeed that they may not tell us if, you know, they've gotten into a mess, went to a party, you know, got drunk, got assaulted or got arrested or, you know, all kinds of things that happen when you're away from home, and you might make mistakes in discerning the character of people that are in your surroundings. Matter of fact, we talked about that on our Three Black Moms show this past week about, you know, how our parents kind of prepared us when we got ready to leave, and all of us went away to college. But things like, you know, don't drink something at a party and set it down, because, you know, people do put drugs in your drinks, or don't even eat anything if you suspect that the people around you are unscrupulous. It's all kinds of things that do happen on campuses, and if parents have not been, they don't even know how to warn you. So that's something to think about. How do we warn our children if they are the first one in the family to ever go away? Let me take some more calls. We've got area code 779, and then we're going to go to area code 407, and then area code 863, and then area code 111. So area code 779.
I have one caller here.
Okay.
One caller here on the AM 360 board. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll bring them in right after this one. And of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and press 1 to speak. Yes, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and go right ahead with your thoughts.
Grand Rising, this is Maika. And
how are you, Maika?
I am good today. Great. Glad I caught the show. I was up so late last night. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to speak on was my grandson reported to me his experience last year as a freshman at HBCU college, and I don't remember which one it was, but he went on an academic scholarship. And he was assaulted, not criminally, but he was sexually assaulted by white women, a white woman, who just made him a notch on her belt. He was a virgin when he went. ended up catching syphilis, and he's just totally turned off by college at this point. It's like he just does not like what he experienced in the academic setting of college, and he was totally unprepared for what had happened to him. So I just wanted to mention that, and that's something that we don't prepare ourselves or our children for, is sexuality. It still seems to be the unspoken issue. We have to start talking about sex and sexual violations and sexual perversions and sexual stalkers and all the things that go on. And then he was telling me that, because I didn't know nothing about it, he told me to look into the movie, and it's called Sex and the College Girl. And it's just unbelievable how these women, young girls, getting away from home, just let it all hang loose. Everything they couldn't do when they lived at home, they do it when they go to college. So I wanted to speak to that because it's something that needs to be spoken to. And we need to prepare children for what to experience when they get in these environments where they don't have adequate adult supervision. Thank you.
Well, that is a major point. And, several years ago, more than 10 years ago, I guess it was, when now President Joe Biden was vice president, there was a movement initiated from the White House addressing rape on college campuses. And we actually went to, I'm trying to think what campus it was. I think it was one of those downstate universities. It might have been University of Illinois, where he spoke, and we went and, you know, covered that for the news. Mm. And the whole issue was the fact that there were all of these sexual assaults going on that were unreported and dismissed. And, you know, of course, that's always a traumatizing thing, but that is what was happening across the nation on these college campuses, because you do have young people who may never have left home before, wanting to express what they never expressed before, totally out of control because they didn't have self-control. And then if you don't have an administration that is sensitive to these things and discusses it openly, you have all kinds of traumatic events happening in that area of violation of other people's bodies. So this was a whole national campaign. I think it was called No Means No or something like that. But you also have a lot of people doing, you know, experimentation. As our caller said previously, you have a lot of things happening on college campuses that happen as a result of people not being prepared for adulthood. And I think that has to do with parents realizing once that child leaves college, it's like a bird kicking your chick out of the nest. You got to be able to fly. You are now an adult. Mm-hmm. You're out of my house. Either you are prepared or you're not, and you're going to experience the level of your maturity. You're going to experience whether or not your parents prepared you to accept responsibility. You're going to experience who you are when you leave the house, and that's what that college experience is about. You have a lot of people who grew up very repressed, looking down their throat and, you know, keeping a tight chain on them, and then when they left home, they were not ready for adult responsibility, and they broke wild because, you know, oh, I'm free. Nobody's looking over my shoulder. I do everything. So that lets us know as parents, we have to prepare our children to be adult and be responsible, because we're not going to be there to look over them. There's no supervision on the college campus. You are legally an adult, and if you're not emotionally adult, you're going to experience the consequences of your bad choices. So, yeah, that's what I mean, I have a lot of friends who wouldn't let their daughters go to college because they were afraid they're going to get pregnant. And then they stayed home and they still end up getting pregnant.
You know,
so, you know, it's not the college. It's are you prepared to be an adult once you are chronologically an adult? Go ahead, Brother Kareem. And thank you so much, Maika, for approaching that, because that's a major thing that happens on college campuses that we have to think about and prepare for. So, Kareem, you had a thought, and then you want to open the mic for your next caller?
Yes. My daughter attended Michigan State, and she shared with me what she called the buck wild behavior
the buck wild behavior that occurs once children are, well, no, they aren't children. When once young adults experience that unbridled freedom. But you point to a very important element. As parents, we have to instill within them, you know, it's a whole lot of we say don't this, don't. And they are registering all of those negatives. But if we instill within them the positives, that will hopefully strengthen them so that they can govern themselves when they're no longer under our watchful eye. But yes, Maika definitely brings up a subject matter that has been prolific on college campuses.
Right.
So I'll stop right there, Ms. Crystal.
Right. And then speaking of that, before you open the mic to the next caller, at one point I want to make before you open the mic for the call on your switchboard, you also have whites who are curious. They have a lot of, you know, don't, you know, stay with most black people. And, you know, there's a whole lot of curiosity that young white girls have about black men that they've, if you've been taught your whole life, stay with me, men, you know, and then all the myths that surrounding our sexuality as a people. So you get people that are basically looking to explore all of their curiosities because they've been told not to and because it's been forbidden. Well, now you're home, you're away from home, you're away from your parents, and there's nobody to tell you not to. So there's a lot. That was one of the things that was the big political underlying thing at these predominantly white institutions. A lot of people who now had the opportunity to explore the opposite sex of another race, that was almost the obsession. And then a lot of black athletes, you know, were really white women were drawn to them, not only because, you know, whatever physical attraction they had, but also the potential money-making, because they were a meal ticket if they went professional. That's a political, a social issue going on all of these predominantly white campuses with the athletes. So that's another thing that, you know, you have to talk to your children about before they go to school. So, Brother Kareem, you got a caller on your switchboard?
Yes. Error code 312671. I believe this may be Minister Floyd Plum.
Well, yeah, shalom. That means we are one in God. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem and Sister Naima. How's my family?
We are wonderful. So Minister Plum, you grew up in the the civil rights era when people were fighting to get to these predominantly white universities. What was that like? And did you have a college experience at a predominantly white university, or did you have a college experience at a black university? Did you go to a state-sponsored school, or were you, you know, self-educated and, you know, just were able to basically create your own knowledge based on your readings and research? What was your experience like?
Hallelujah. That means we are one in God. My experience after I got back from Vietnam was to experience the black college, which was Malcolm X, also Harold Washington College, and it was Loop at first, and then it became Harold Washington, as well as Columbia College. And I specialized in music by the time I got to, but I always took business courses. And then, you know, my experience overall became, it takes a village to raise one child and no one to raise a kid. Now I'm on the mission, Men on a Mission with Sister Dava Watkins. And I think you all know her too. And she's the president of Harold Washington Park District. And now we started Men on a Mission, Prayers for Chicago for Peace. And that's done on the Sabbath day, not on the Saturday, every Saturday at noon at 5300 South Hyde Park Boulevard. And also I'm challenging my brothers and my sisters to meet us in prayer there, and especially the Million Man March. Yes.
Well, that's
and
a very
so
worthwhile. That's a very worthwhile activity, and we really know that the solution is spiritual reformation. And at 53rd Street, that's right around the University of Chicagoland area. I'm hoping a lot of the college students there will participate. And we thank you so much, Minister Plum. We got to take a we're going to see if we can take another call before we take a break, Brother Kareem. Thank you so much, Minister Plum. We'll remember that, and please join in with the prayers. The prayer vigils are needed more than ever now. And let me see if we can open the mic for area code 863-816. Got a couple of minutes before we take a break. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Just real quick, I started out life at HBCU. I was born on the campus of Howard University when they had the hospital there called Freedman's Hospital, which has moved to right around the corner. Now they call it Howard University Hospital. But Freedman Square, where I was actually born, which was formerly Freedman's Hospital, that building is still standing as, I guess they turn it into classrooms. I don't know what it is now. But I started out life there, lived 15 minutes away there growing up mostly. I lived in some other places too. And but undergraduate school, I got a basketball scholarship to a school in Texas. And this was in the panhandle of Texas, which is real cowboy country. So I experienced, what do you call it, the culture shock when I went to school in that part of Texas. And then graduate school, I went to Howard University. I majored in communications in both places. In the undergraduate, I majored in mass communication, electronic media. And then I majored in communications at for grad school at Howard. It was taught differently, but I didn't have any problems at either one of those schools. And it was I later on was offered a scholarship at their radio station, WHUR, but turned it down because I had an internship. I was interested in the radio sales, and they didn't have anything like that at Howard. So. I turned that down. But anyway, rich experience at both of them. And like I said, they were two totally different. The undergraduate school in the panhandle of Texas, Canyon, Texas might have a little bit over 13,000 people today. Okay. So it's different landscape, totally, I mean, it's cowboy country, straight up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Howard was in an urban environment, which I was used to because I grew up in it. But I felt I got more out of the Texas experience than the Howard experience. But what I will say, and I'll land my plane on this, at Howard University, it was rich, and I just wish I knew the value of it back then. It was crawling with the children of black entrepreneurs. One of my classmates, we're friends to this day, her father ended up getting a cable franchise for the city of Philadelphia, Wade Cablevision. And they made a bunch of money. And this is like, I met her in like 1981. And Howard was, their communications department at the time was big on theory and not on practical application. So anyway, I'll end my plan on that. But good experiences at both of them.
Well, that's a blessing. And, you know, sports is often an opportunity and a door opener that gets us through college. But you got to have a game plan beyond sports. And there are few of our successful athletes that went on to take that money and that success and create businesses. But that really has to be the mindset when you go to college. Otherwise, you can easily be exploited both in college and after college, if you just let yourself be used and you don't have a game plan for the rest of your life. You look up and you're bankrupt after having been a millionaire, and, you know, how did that happen? So, yeah,
well,
definitely.
I got a real quick comment on that, Naima. A lot of college athletes, not all, but when I was back in school, I know how it is now, a lot of them didn't even go to class. Or
yeah.
I know one guy, when he got drafted into the NFL, he got drafted in the NFL on, let's say, Monday. Tuesday, he had quit going to class. So a lot of them don't take advantage of the, like, business 101, accounting 101 that they can take for free. A lot of those athletes just never even take the courses. They never even think about financial literacy or networking, because at every college that I've set foot on, even community colleges, there are wealthy parents on there that can guide your classmates. Some of the parents of your classmates can guide you to a fabulous career where you can make a lot of money. But if you don't stick around long enough to make those social relationships and build social capital, then you get left hand.
That's it. That is true. That is true. It's all about networking. Well, we got to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to share some comments from our Friday host, Viata, that talks about how we can benefit from community colleges and some of the other ways we can help those who go to college to have a greater vision of how to use their skills to create businesses. We'll be right back after this break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our American Muslim 360 switchboard, or want to call in, 515-605-9891, make sure you press 1. And that lights your number up, and we will open your mic and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this last break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll take your calls when we come back. So stay with us.
Tune in to Sofa Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Sofa Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Thank you.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we are talking about the Black College Experience. The Big Ten Black alumni are celebrating the first ever Banbury the weekend of Thursday, July 28th through Saturday, July 30th at Chicago's McCormick Place. They're on 24th and King Drive, 23rd King Drive. And we had our guest earlier discussing the event, Andre Garner, discussing the experience of college in the predominantly white institutions. And we're taking a look at the Black college experience in general. Does it encourage people to become entrepreneurs, or does it encourage them to seek out positions in corporate America? And when that doesn't happen, then are they left struggling because they didn't have a game plan of how to independently use their skills? Well, Viata comments on Facebook, our Friday host, says, why not promote development of technical skills in community colleges? Well, that's one of the things by various community activists and leaders. How do we make that experience more effective and definitely pointed toward entrepreneurship? Because if you have technical skills of auto mechanics, or even if you have technical skills of carpentry, you can come out of college with the skills to start your own business. And, you know, you can take business courses so that you understand how to do that. She also says, Viata shares with us, my four-year-old experience at the University of Wisconsin, majority white, was promiscuity. Even the number of people with large college debts, it's time to rethink college and less of scholarship. We can start educating our children early about becoming entrepreneurs. The current public school system put too much emphasis on college education, but time for a new system. Yes, I agree. I think we went to college, a lot of these colleges, with the idea, I'm going to enter corporate America, have a secure job for the rest of my life, and be thrust into the upper middle class. But for a lot of people, they got out of college, a lot of debt, no job, especially now in this economy, and no vision of how to create a job. And you had some people who never went to college and making millions of dollars, you know, selling peanuts or some other little thing, but they figured out a way to create a business and create a network and create a means of sustaining themselves. They may not even have gone to college at all. So it's a mindset of how can I take care of myself? And I think that really has to be what our parents focus on. She also mentioned the issue of promiscuity on the college campuses, which I would say if you repress your child and raise them with fear and you don't give them a sense of empowerment for planning their life, the first thing they're going to do when they get to college is do everything you forbid them to do. Got to give a child freedom before they leave the house. Otherwise, they will not be able to handle freedom. Let me take some more calls here, and let me know if you have any callers on your switchboard.
I have one here.
Okay. Let me take 773-737, and then we'll go to your caller. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about the Black college experience.
Well, hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers.
Hallelujah, greetings, Melody.
Hallelujah, yes. Greetings to you.
Yeah, Maiko mentioned sex and the college girl. I think both sexes can benefit from seeing it, whether they leave home, whenever they leave home for the first time. It might be to get a job or the go to the military, or this is their first experience in the world without a parental oversight and overseeing their conduct. And I think that that church girl is in the most danger, going from church to college. I think that
I agree.
She's not going, you know. So when your daughter went away to another country for employment, what kind of experience was that for you?
Well, I was always at peace because I knew that the principles that my daughter had were inside of her. They were not something that I imposed or forced upon her or kept an iron fist over her and made her feel like she was imprisoned by my hovering over her, like I didn't trust her, or, you know, obsessing over, are you with a boy or who are you talking to? I gave her freedom in the stages necessary so that by the time she was a senior in high school, you know, she was very independent. You know, she had worked, was buying her own clothes, and she made her own decisions to be responsible. I remember when she was 16 and she wanted to get her nose pierced. You know, I thought, oh, no, a piercing. She said, look, Mom, I don't hang out. I don't drink. I don't party. I do everything you tell me to. I get straight A's. This is the one crazy thing I want to do. You know, I said, okay, you know, you've made your case. Because it's a harmless little thing. But, you know, she's letting me know, look, I'm living by these principles by my own choice. So this one little thing that I want to do that might seem kind of, you know, a little bit different, you know, unconventional, let me just go ahead and do that. And I realized, you know, you have to give your children freedom, but you give them freedom by having instilled in them principles of self-respect. So that when they leave you, you never have to worry about it. I never worried about her when she was abroad because I knew that inside of her was self-respect. She was not going to do anything to disrespect herself. And parents have to know how to do that so that they can let their children, when it's time to let them fly out of the nest, you can let them go and spread their wings because you've already given them roots, but you need to give them wings. And you can't do that if you don't trust them. So you have to instill it in them. And then let them go.
You know, that's the key. You just gave the key. But, you know, when my daughter, I think she was about, 11 or 12 years old, she wanted to wear boy gym shoes. You know, I'm totally coming from.
When we're kind of
girls
sad,
don't
yeah.
wear, you know, they wear PF sliders, you know. They don't wear them. You want them. And she said, yeah. She said the boy gym shoes are more comfortable than the girl gym shoes. They
yeah,
are usually
they were.
Wider, and they are made. And, you know, she was independent of mine. At 18, she told me, I was asking, did she say that? And she said, no, I told my own self what to do. And so she was
that's
always.
It. I told my own yes. self what to do. That is the key. And that's always the key, Mom. Like you said, the you know, the little preschooler, I told my own self what to do. That's what we got to teach. And like you've been saying, you got to teach that at an early age for a child to tell their own self what to do. You instill in them what's right and what's wrong. And they choose right because that's who they want to be. They want to be a person who does what's right. That's what you have to be able to do.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Yes, I think your sound is breaking up a bit.
Yeah, well, you can go to some other callers because, you know, I can go on and on and so on.
Well, Brother Kareem's got a caller on his line. Brother Kareem, you want to go ahead and take that call? Thanks so much, Mama D, and look forward to some wisdom with Mama D on the fourth Saturday every fourth Saturday here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And Kareem, you've got a caller on your line, another caller?
Yes. 727-309. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Thank you. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Just listening and enjoying everything that's coming through the different persons' experiences. I just want to add, I don't know if it was an evolutionary process or what, but my going to college just was simply, like they say, the church girl going to college, but it was just on a local level. And just going with the direct focus on what I needed to do. And I was so scared of failing till I didn't have time to even interact with the other students on a social level. And I saw that expressed in my grandchildren and my children. They had no desire to be involved in the social interactions, extracurricular activities where they formed clubs and things like that. They got involved in sports and creative arts, but not in the social functions off campus or what have you. And my son chose to go to the service and get his college credit there. So it was just that kind of attachment, but like you say, the stability in within self from home and that root and just expressing it. And my son thanked me for trusting him at 16 years old, just doing certain things with other friends that formed a group, but I won't go deep into that. But thank you so much. Yes, it definitely comes from the roots at home and then outward. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You know, Brother Kareem, that's a concern that a lot of parents have, what happens on the college campuses, the promiscuity, and because college, when I was in college, I guess it was starting with my sophomore year, my junior year, I lived in an apartment. My sophomore year, I lived in a co-ed dormitory because they had just started those where, men and women were living on the same floor or in the same building. Well, not on the same floor. I think it was the same building. And then they had some where they were the same, you live on the same floor, but there was a divider between the floors. The thing about it, once you pass puberty, you have to have instilled in you a decision to be in control of your own body and your own sexuality because you understand that this is planning for the rest of your life. Just as I understood that if I got pregnant by someone, that would change the whole trajectory of my life. That understanding was also in my daughter. And so the decision to not engage in sex was a conscious decision based on plan that you have for yourself. We've had a whole lot of discussions about abortion and everything over these last couple of days, but really the answer is to instill in your children and yourself an understanding that your choices will affect the trajectory of your life. And so you choose to do things in the order that you want them to happen for your life. That is your responsibility. That's what it means to be an adult, to be responsible. Now, people talk about cases of rape, and that happens because, again, we are not teaching our male children respect for themselves and respect for women. We're not teaching it because the decision to violate someone means you don't respect yourself. You're choosing to be a violator, and you don't respect them. So all of these have to do with who you choose to be as a human being. And when you instill in people respect for themselves and who and what they want to be, then they make the choices that reflect the honor and respect that they want to uphold for themselves and their families. This is what we have the responsibility to do when we send our children away, to empower them with the understanding that you are now in control of your life from this point on. I'm not going to be supervising. I'm not going to be calling you to see if you get up and go to class on time. You are now responsible for however your life unfolds. And if you make choices that cause it to unfold in a way that you didn't want, don't point the finger at anyone but yourself. Love yourself enough to make good choices. That's what we have to do.
Yes, that is very essential, that self-respect. You know how one respects themselves, the installation of self-respect and of dignity, and instilling standards within our young children, that there are standards and they themselves choose not to go below those standards. And you mentioned something that was very important, our family connection. You know, I don't want to shame my family. I don't want to disrespect the standards of
my family.
You know?
That's right.
That's very important. So, but also, you mentioned something that's very important, practice of free will, free will cannot be applied properly if we have not given the proper education as to, yes, there is an established wrong and an established right. And that there will come a time when you yourself will have to discipline yourself. You have the free will, but respect yourself. Love yourself. You are special to you. Yourself is relying on you to respect it. And what is that it? Yourself.
Absolutely. That's true. Yeah, that's a major thing that people worry about. I mean, I've had that would not send their girl child to college because they feared she would get pregnant. And that is a sad thing when you don't allow someone. I mean, I had a friend whose child was an amazingly gifted musician, even singer, you know, and she wanted to be in the music business, you know. She wanted that as a career. And her mother's like, no, you can sing in church. You know, and I'm not putting down church or gospel music, but a gift is to be shared. A gift is to be shared with the world. That's why our Creator allows us to manifest it so that we can share it. But if you're obsessed about, well, she goes to campus and she goes to college, she leaves home, she's going to get mixed up with these boys and have sex and have a baby and shame the family, then that means you don't believe you have instilled in your child the importance of following her dream. And like you said, Green, developing the self-discipline so that when you make choices, you are in control of your choices because you have a greater goal. So, you know, and in a way, it's like the world was kind of deprived of a great talent. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the girl, she stayed at home. She later ended up getting pregnant anyway. And, you know, if you repress a person's natural inclinations instead of giving people an understanding as to why they should make certain choices, because it empowers them to control their life and the circumstances in their life, then you just end up repressing people and not allowing them to grow. So every decision you make, it's a growth experience. You learn, you get the consequences of your choices so that you understand why to make better choices. So, yeah, a lot of people have that.
We have,
you know, experience.
Yes, ma'am. We have a caller here.
Okay, caller, you got another minute before we go? Go ahead and open your mic.
That's right. We have just 1 minute left. Air code 724866. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Welcome, Salam. This is Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, PA. I just wanted to also say, I mean, we have to be realistic too, that just like Adam slipped, a lot of our children will slip and make a decision that might not be the best decision for them, but we have to also show them how to recover from a error they may have in life, because there's many young girls that have still become successful and that may have gotten pregnant even in high school, but they became good mothers and good examples for their children and raised their children with dignity and respect too, along with some of those dads. So as much as we want to paint the perfect picture, life is not always perfect, and you can recover from mistakes that you make.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And
not
always.
You can redeem yourself.
Well,
yes.
Thank you so much, Sister Gail. I appreciate that comment. And I would just add to that, you know, no life is a mistake. That's a choice of the soul who came through you, that they wanted to come through you at that time. That was it. So no life is a mistake. And if the choice you made was to engage in sexual intimacy, well, then what you're going to experience is the level of effort that you're going to need to put forth in order for you to continue to achieve your goals and to take care of your first responsibility, which is to raise the child. So it's a choice that gives you another set of responsibilities, but not a mistake. It's a choice. And so you just will grow from that choice. So thank you so much, Sister Gail. We appreciate you so much. And last comment before
we
go.
Appreciate you also.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
Sister
Gail. Yes, absolutely. And we thank all of you for joining us today on this Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. Thank you, Brother Kareem, as always, for being an outstanding co-host, and we look forward to next Wednesday.
Come to the end of our show.
And remember to join us tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. We'll see you there.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to
www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution.
You can always my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyabat. Japan, Arigato.
Thank you for using Blog
Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.